Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Oh, I know you feel that chill, I should say, in the air. Good evening, and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. This has been the coldest day of the season so far, and tonight and overnight is only going to get colder. I mean, a lot colder. Take a look at these temperatures right now in Raleigh, Wilson, Clinton, Southern Pines, 22 to 28 degrees. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione is here now to take a closer look at this chill. Anthony.
It's going to be a good morning tomorrow, Julian, to bundle up any of those church services if you're headed out early. Very, very chilly temperatures. Good evening to all of you. We already have some wind chill advisories out for the mountains. We are not expecting this for our area. They're expecting wind chill values, though, down to about negative 20. We're going to see single digits, I think, is a pretty good idea. We're not going to see a wind chill advisory because you have to hit zero or below for those to come out. Nonetheless, it feels like 22 currently Raleigh, Durham, 22 in Rocky Mount, already down to 15 in Roxborough. And we are not here, of course, into the heart of the overnight hours tonight. We play future cast ahead here as far as the wind chill values are concerned. Even by 10 o'clock this evening, close to zero in Roxborough, 12 is all we're going for there in Raleigh. We go into tomorrow morning, most of us still waking up in the single digits for the triangle to the north and right around 11 or 12 degrees there, Julian, from the triangle to the south. Bitterly cold temperatures tomorrow, but typical for North Carolina. We have a huge pattern flip into next week. We'll talk about when we could hit the 70s here in just a few minutes.
Ah, yes, the 70s. Can't wait to talk more about that. Yeah. Thank you, Anthony. Right now at 6, crews are working to restore pipes following a water main break. It happened at the intersection of Atlantic Avenue and Ingram Drive. WRAL's Carly Haynes is live at the site where freezing temperatures could be a concern if those pipes aren't fixed quickly. Carly.
Yeah, Julian, crews are still actively working here, but I do want to emphasize just how cold it is out here right now. I mean, stinging temperatures. And you think about those workers who are now having to deal with working with water, and that's going to make it a whole lot worse for them. But we've been seeing Public Works, the city of Raleigh, as well as contractors on scene right here. They're focusing on that big hole over that way. But then also over this way, we're noticing more crews over in this cul-de-sac. So two separate areas here where crews are working. But I want to show you some video of what we saw earlier here today of that water gushing over that road here. I mean, it was a ton. Part of the road is still closed off at the moment. And a representative from the city of Raleigh on site told me this water main break was construction related. So crews hit a pipe and that's when the water started gushing out. And the concern is that the water on this road can freeze in the temperatures later tonight, as Anthony was just talking about. It's only going to get colder here, and that's going to create potentially a dangerous floor of ice. Some people who live nearby are noticing their water is also periodically shutting off.
I was surprised. I looked out the window. I just heard noises. I looked out the window, and I just said, it was like Florida out here. Like, it was like a flood. Like, what's going on? I was confused.
And the city of Raleigh representative here told us the crews will likely be out late into the evening. So we're hoping they stay warm. We asked them what they're doing. How are they going to stay warm? They said, luckily, they do have some heaters on hand if it gets pretty bad. Julian.
We're so grateful that they have those heaters. Carly Haynes keeping us warm, reporting live in Raleigh tonight. Thank you. Well, parts of Fuquay Arena are under a boil water advisory after a water main break earlier today is impacting people north of Hilltop Needmore Road. The water main has been repaired, but people are asked to boil all water for human consumption as a safety precaution. That includes water for drinking, making ice, brushing teeth, washing dishes, and also preparing food. Now, if you can't boil the water, use bottled water. The town plans to have an update on the water status around 10 o'clock tonight. Today was not the day to be outside, right? With the freezing temps and that wind, a lot of people chose to be indoors. Of course, if the dog needs to be walked or you need to get gas and groceries, you just have to endure it.
We have yo-yo weather here in Raleigh, I think. I don't know that I've done anything special except to wear extra clothes and walk inside more than walking outside. My husband put extra protection on the outside faucets of the apartment.
Just cold weather.
Now, we didn't see a lot of people out, but the ones we did see were bundled up like that lady right there. Now, if you need to get groceries tonight or walk the dog, we suggest you do the same. Get the hat, get the gloves, the coat, the scarf. do it all. The city of Durham set up warming station tents in East End Park. 7 people will be able to use them and get out of the freezing cold this weekend. Now, Councilor Freeman stopped by to see the tents and shared her thanks to Duke Health for donating them. Several counties are opening their white flag shelters as a set up warming centers this weekend as temperatures dip into the teens. Wake County has men's and women's family shelters open. The Moore County Department of Public Safety opened a warming station at the Moore County Sports Complex. It will be open overnight tonight and tomorrow. The Cumberland County Library and the Fayetteville Cumberland Parks and Recreation Centers are open as warming centers during the day. Several shelters in Cumberland County are open overnight. Durham police say someone was killed along NC Highway 55 this afternoon. A breaking news tracker was on the scene where there were several police cars and a command bus. Durham police say they have a person of interest in custody. They're asking anyone who may know anything about this investigation to call police or call Crime Stoppers. 4 people are displaced after a house fire in Durham. The fire department says they were called to a home on River Rock Drive around 1:40 this afternoon. When they first arrived, firefighters say they saw smoke coming from the second floor. They say the fire spread to the attic, where it was brought under control from crews inside. The Red Cross is helping the 4 people who were displaced. No one was injured. We're working to get an update about a sexual assault at an NC State sorority house. A female student reported that she was sexually assaulted by a male student at the Phi Beta Phi, a sorority house. Now, police do not have a suspect in custody. However, they do say they've identified him and he is affiliated with the university. The victim's description is that he's 20 years old and 6'6" tall. The Durham's DA office has dismissed all recent charges against Kevin Johnson. Now, you may recall he was convicted in 2007 of shooting a Durham police officer. In June, a judge overturned that conviction. Earlier this month, he was charged with a number of gun and drug offenses. His attorney says as a result, Johnson was also fired from his job with the Bull City United and Durham's violence reduction program. Now those new charges have been dropped pending further investigation from the DA. It's a goodbye that came far too soon. This afternoon, dozens of family members and friends gathered for a funeral for 5-year-old Carter Holloway. Holloway was autistic and nonverbal. He died after being beaten. His father is now charged with murder.
Inside Friendship Chapel Baptist Church Saturday, broken hearts dressed in blue.
Of all deaths that of a child is the most unnatural and hardest to bear.
These are the family, the teachers, the loved ones who knew Carter Bop Bop Holloway best.
He loved life. He loved his family.
Carter died New Year's Day at UNC Hospital. Family members tell WRAL he was beaten, leading to a fatal brain hemorrhage. Carter's father, 24-year-old Amir Hines, is charged with the boy's murder.
Death seems a cruel thing when it strikes down the young.
The focus Saturday remained on Carter's life, his smile, his love of superheroes, his infectious joy.
When he hugged you, it was full of love and compassion. He squeezed the happiness into your soul.
I can see him on his mom's sofa now, with his little cape. Fly call.
If I can say anything,
all right,
that I'm confident in now, Carter is with the Lord.
In Wake Forest, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
Carter was such a beautiful boy. Well, police are also investigating a shooting in Clayton. Happened overnight at the intersection of Carrie Ann Lane and Plymouth Drive. You can see multiple police officers on scene there and dozens of markers placed on the street by investigators. No details on any victims at this time. We are working to learn more about the situation. A woman is in custody and died at the Lenoir County Jail this morning. Deputies are not sharing the woman's name until her family members are contacted. They are also not sharing any information about how she died right now. The State Bureau of Investigations is at the jail to look into what happened. There's no question that gun violence plagues our communities, and a group of people is hoping to do something to change all of that. The message shared at today's peacemaking summit in Raleigh. Also, the family of a fallen soldier in Fuquay Varina received the keys to their new home. We take you to the heartwarming homecoming. And SNL is all new tonight. Yes, it will be a lot of fun. And there's a musical guest from North Carolina. Here's a look at Pinehurst, and it is chilly out there, but it is warm in here. Welcome back. The Wake County Board of Elections was open today to help people get the photo identification they now need ahead of primary election day. They gave out free photo IDs to anyone who showed up. Now, the law changed in North Carolina last year, requiring voters to show an ID to cast a ballot.
It's just an effort to try and be available so that if people have questions or if they need anything, it helps spread awareness that there's a primary coming up. And that's our main goal, is just to make sure everybody thinks about these things ahead of time and is just ready to vote.
Now, if you didn't make it out today, don't worry. You can get a free photo ID at your local Board of Elections of the DMV during regular business hours. Driver's license, state IDs, passports, and approved student IDs can also be used to vote. The primary is March 5th. Circle that on your calendar. Community leaders gathered at First Presbyterian Church in Raleigh discussing ways to prevent gun violence. This was a great discussion today. There were three sessions with talks from Moms Demand Action, and Raleigh Police Chief, the director of North Carolina's new Office of Violence Prevention, was also there and gave a keynote address.
I think we hope to help people see that we are all connected and that we all have a voice and a story to tell, and that together as a body, as also as individuals, we can work to end violence, that our voice matters and we can make a difference here.
Raleigh Police Chief Estella Patterson talked to attendees about the role gun violence plays in our lives. She also shared things we can do to help stop gun violence in our very own communities. Great discussion. All right, this morning, the family of a fallen U.S. Army sergeant received keys to a new home, all thanks to Operation Coming Home. Look at this. Staff Sergeant Wantre Bradley was killed in 2008 while serving in Iraq. He earned a Purple Heart. Today, his widow and four children saw their new home in Fuquay Varina, built by volunteers with German Homes. They donated homes to combat injured troops and families of fallen service members.
It's unbelievable. It's going to take some time to soak in. It feels good, though. It feels really, really good. We thank God. We thank everybody that had anything to do with it. We appreciate everybody. Everybody.
I'm so excited for the Bradley family. Now, Ava Bradley says it may seem like her family is starting over, but they're really just continuing their journey in another neighborhood. We wish them all the best. What a great day for the family. Congratulations to them once again. A historic home in Raleigh is on the move. Renowned NC State architect Greg George Matsumoto designed this nearly 70-year-old home. It was slated for demolition before a Raleigh family stepped in to save it. This morning, it moved 7 miles to its new location in their own backyard on Delmont Drive. The move took several hours. The next step is reassembling each of the pieces. I know that will take some time. Anthony, this cold is really getting to a lot of us today.
Yeah, I walked outside and I was like, everything kind of hurt a little bit. I think it was because of the cold, Julian, just these temperatures sticking with us. 70s, though, into next week. It's going to be incredible here for us, the turnaround from what we're expecting tomorrow into our even Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Let's talk about where we sit right now, though, because, of course, as you walk outside, it is very chilly, and tonight we do have another night where it's going to be just frigid temperatures. Here's where we sit as far as wind chill alerts are concerned. We are not the only ones dealing with this. I mean, they go all the way through Tennessee, even into Florida. Northern Florida, they have wind chill advisories right now where you see the blue showing up. Those are wind chill warnings. Bottom line, though, as low as negative 20 for those folks. We're going to get down probably into the single digits and teens tonight. Winds currently are at about 5 to 10 miles an hour. There's just enough of them out there and enough of a breeze to kind of make it feel a little bit bitter. 21 mile per hour gusts there in Roxborough, 18 in Durham, Raleigh, 16 in Goldsboro. tomorrow. Again, it's just enough to make it feel colder. We're down to about 22 for wind chill in Raleigh, 22 in Fayetteville. Also in Southern Pines, 14 currently in Roxborough. And one thing you may have noticed here, the dew points, that measure of the moisture in the air. You basically have to take the actual air temperature and cool it all the way down to the dew point to get any moisture to form, kind of condense out of the atmosphere. 1 degree dew points right now in Raleigh, Durham, across the board here, single digits. What that says is it's extremely dry. It's one of those days where your hands, the skin, feeling very, very dry here because of this chilly air. We go forward tonight, though. Here's a look at wind chill values. 3 degrees. That is it by the time we get to 10 o'clock tonight. We go into tomorrow morning. If you're up and at them, let's say 7, 8 o'clock or so, still single digits and low teens. 11 in Raleigh, 11 in Clinton, 13 in Fayetteville for us to start off our Sunday. Here's the next couple days, though. We go into the afternoon. It will not feel as bad after the morning. We're going to start off really cold. 35, though, is what it will feel like on our Sunday afternoon. 42 by the time we get into Monday. So starting to make some progress. And then look what happens. If this is not a North Carolina forecast, I don't know what is. We go to 40 tomorrow. 72 by the time we get into Thursday. Just an incredible jump there. 67 on Wednesday. It will, though, come with cloud cover and more rain chances in the forecast. Here's kind of a look, a general view, if you will. There's Tuesday, a little bit of spotty shower activity. We go into Wednesday, some showers. We go into Thursday. This is moisture coming straight off the Gulf of Mexico, and it brings all of that rainfall up in our direction. Thursday afternoon, looking like some heavy rainfall again. We take this into Friday, so you kind of get that picture. It's going to be rounds of unsettled weather here once we get those temperatures to warm up into this upcoming week. We head to tomorrow, though, lots of sunshine. 40 degrees on our Sunday, 48 Monday. Tuesday overall looks relatively dry. I've kept rain chances out of that. We may need to put them in, but I would not cancel anything if you have anything going on Tuesday. Wednesday, they start to ramp up a little bit. We go to 73 there, Julian, on Friday, and rain chances anywhere from about 30 to 60%. So it's going to start to get a little bit more unsettled.
Yeah, from 40 to 73.
Incredible.
Yeah, quite a pattern. All right, thank you, Anthony. Casey joins us now with a look at the headlines in sports.
You know, it kind of reminds me of North Carolina, right? A low last year, and now all of a sudden they're in a high this season. You know what they say, a win is a win, right? Well, it wasn't always pretty for Carolina today on the road, but a big takeaway is that the Heels continue to find ways to win. Meanwhile, for NC State, its calling card to winning has been defense this season, but today we saw what happens when the pack laps in that department. Every game in the ACC is difficult, but there are games on the schedule, especially when at home, that are very winnable that you just need to take advantage of. And that was the case for NC State today, hosting a Virginia Tech team that had lost 4 straight road games. Let's get you out to PNC Arena. Kevin Keats tried to get on the officials' good side early after getting ejected versus Wake earlier in the week. State playing great defense early. DJ Burns the steal and the flush in transition. Now, outside shooting has been an issue for the Wolfpack lately. Casey Morcell hits their first 3 in over 60 minutes of game time. Took the force to get one to go. He had a team-high 19 points, but State fell to the dark side in the second half. Sean Padula drives for a basket and the foul. Once Tech's offense got going, this one was done. Hunter Couture, one of several second-half threes, part of a 25-13 run. Virginia Tech wins 84-78. Pat Welter, what went wrong at PNC today?
It was nice to see a few threes go in this game, but State has proven they can live without that. Defense and taking care of the basketball has been their identity all season long, and this game showed just how vulnerable they could be when they get away from that. A season-high 18 turnovers kept Virginia Tech in the game early, and when they needed it the most, the Wolfpack defense lapsed late.
Our calling card with this team has been, you know, defense has saved us. At Notre Dame, we didn't score. Defense saved us. And the Wake Forest game, defense saved us. We've been really good at it. Tonight, if you say to me, you know, what's your biggest complaint, I would say we turned it over and we didn't defend in the second half.
I think it was just us lack of focus, honestly, like just mental breakdowns. I don't think it's anything that they did that kind of threw us off or anything. We just got to stay in front. Like, you watch them, we're letting people just drive by us.
We just got to keep being who we are, and we got to do it for a full 40 minutes, not 30, 35. We just got to do it for a full 40 minutes.
It's normal to have to wait a little bit longer to get into the locker room after a tough loss like this. So I asked Casey Morcell if anything special was said among the players during that time. And he said it starts off the court. No shortcuts. We need to be complete in everything we do, and we can fix our mistakes heading into the next game. Casey?
Thank you so much, Pat. Well, a busy stretch for North Carolina continuing as they took its show on the road to a 2-4 Boston College team. But the Eagles, they've been good at home. And with the number 4 team in the nation in town, you got to expect a heightened level of intensity from the home team. To Chestnut Hill we go, where Boston College was doing just that early to Hubert Davis's group. Quentin Post going to drop it off to Prince Aligbe for the slam, and that had the Eagles up 6. Later in the first, UNC within 1. Elliot Cadeau throws it down court to Cormac Ryan for the lead. He finished with 14 on the day. James Okonkwo, your garbage time guy, getting early minutes with the alley-oop just before the half. Heels lucky to be up 3. Harrison Ingram recording his 4th double-double of the season. 13 boards in this one-handed slam for 2 of his 11 and a 6-point lead. That was a close one down the stretch, but R.J. Davis going to find Armando Bacot, who gets it to go, plus the foul for an 8-point lead. Heels find a way to close it out. 8 straight wins by 10 or more points, 76-66 the final. And tonight's number 7 Duke looks to extend its 8-game winning streak hosting Pitt. The two teams met just 11 days ago when the Blue Devils ran the Panthers out of their own building with a 22-point win. Big thing to keep an eye on, Duke could be without 2 starters as Mark Mitchell and now Jeremy Roach dealing with injuries. John Shire said both players were day-to-day. Tip-off Julian in Durham shortly after 8 p.m. And, of course, we've got NFL tonight on Fox 50. Should be a good one as we've got Green Bay at San Francisco.